everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fungela. This is going to be a different kind of episode than we've done in the past. It's going to be in two parts. The first part of the episode is Danielle and I catching up. I share a little bit more of a serious attitude. Danielle talks to us about a whirlwind weekend romance that she had. Very exciting. And the second half of the episode, we have a guest that joins us via Zoom, the lovely Carmela Wallace. And Carmela is the mother of Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD was a very talented rapper, just music artist overall. So talented. And his life was tragically cut short in December of 2019 from an accidental overdose. Now, this kid had such a bright future ahead of him. So talented, so amazing. And we talked to his mom, and she tells us how she has used her pain to build something amazing in this organization that she has that helps people with any kind of mental health issue that they have, a substance issue that they may have. She has this website that is a resource for people, this organization that helps other organizations. We get into all of that. She talks about the restaurant that she's building in her son's honor right in the middle of their hometown where he grew up, and just all the amazing work that she's doing with her son's legacy. And so we get into all of that on this episode. Carmela is a lovely human being who has used her pain to do something incredible in this world. So check out this episode. And also, if you want to leave us a message telling us what you are grateful for, and we may play your message on a future episode, call us and leave us a message at phone number Danielle.
747-300-5380.
That's right. So call us, leave us a message. Don't forget to leave us a review, you guys. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, go leave us a review and tell everybody how much you love our podcast, because that kind of stuff really does help. And follow us on TikTok, on Instagram, and subscribe on YouTube so you can be one of the first to watch our videos when they drop. And I think that's it, right? That's all for the announcements?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So let's jump into this very special episode of Fungela with our guest, Carmela Wallace, and me and Danielle, of course. One more thing. I almost forgot. My tour. It's officially launched and on sale. The Family Reunion Tour. Get your tickets right now at Angela.com. Bye. Danielle and I are on Zoom. And because we're back being separated.
Long distance.
We're long distance relationshiping it right now, you guys.
Yeah.
So we're back on Zoom. And also a little bit later on, we have a guest coming on Zoom as well that we already recorded it. I'll be honest. Full transparency. That one's not live. We already recorded it. But we'll play that for you in a little bit. But before that, Danielle and I are going to catch up, y'all. We're going to catch up with our own lives of things. What's what's going on in your world, Danielle? I think you had dinner the other night with your friends, and what's going on with you?
Yeah, I'm like so busy all the time. Just go, go, go. She's a woman of the town, as some would say. we had a show weekend, and now we're back in town, and I mean, I know what you're wanting me to say, and I'm getting nervous about it, thinking about it.
I wasn't even jumping into that yet. I was just I'm like, you had dinner with your friends. You're like, I know what you want me to say. And it's like, not even dinner with your friends.
I'm like, I'm stressed. I'm already worried about it.
No, you know, I had friends over to swim my pool because it's been hot, but now it like actually feels like fall today. I saw a movie recently that was really good, and because we were talking about it, because social media girl Emily looks like the main actress in the movie. What's it called? I think it's just called My Dumbass.
I think
is that what it's called?
The movie.
I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
Was it good?
It was so good. It's Aubrey Plaza is also in it, and the girl that looks like Emily is in it, and she...
We don't know her real name, but we don't know her real name. Call her, in our text thread, she is named the girl that looks like Emily.
Girl that looks like Emily. Hold on. I do know that she is part of... Do you remember that show Nashville? Now that you live in Nashville.
Did
you
watch it? I didn't watch it, though.
Yeah. So she was a part of, like, the girl. She was, like, one of the daughters on the show. And she is also part of, like, the singing duo.
Oh. So she's, like, a singer in real life?
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
All right. Well, we don't...
I was trying to... my old ass. Not dumb ass. My old ass.
Oh.
But the girl I'm thinking of is Maisie Stella. That's who I'm thinking of. But it's really good, and it's about this girl who meets her future self when she's like 39, and it ended up being... I thought it was gonna be funny, and I cried like the whole time. It just was, like,
she
really
meets her future self.
Yeah, so the young girl meets her future self, and her future self is like, don't do these things. And then, but she does them anyway. And she's like, we needed to do those things to become who we are today. And
I thought it was
really beautiful because, like, there are those things in your life where you're like, ugh, why did I have to go through that? Or, gosh, that was such a hard time. Or, I wish I made a different decision. But it's like, you still need, like, even if you were to go see your younger self, like, if your older self, like, you still needed to do those things because it still shapes who you are.
Sure.
And
even if it was like a really heartbreaking thing or a really whole thing that you had to struggle through and it was like the worst, it was still needed. And I think I had been thinking a lot on those themes recently when I saw the movie. So I just was fully like zoned in and hooked. And
there is a song that Andy Grammer sings that we love. And what's funny is before we had Rosie, this song was on our playlist for the hospital day. Like when she was born, we had a whole playlist of songs that we're going to play.
Yeah.
And the whole, I'm pretty sure the title of the song is called I Wish You Pain. And the whole theme is like, basically you have to go through hard things in life. It helps build your character and who you are as a person. And it's like, I wish you pain. It's beautiful, but so like hard to be like, I hope you, I'm getting it all the lyrics wrong, but it's the essence of it is like, I hope you plan a party and nobody shows up. I hope you, you know, need help and you fall on your face and nobody's there to catch you. Like that kind of a thing, right? Yeah. And so before we had Rosie, I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful. Like, I get it. I fully understand the message of the song. And we put it on our playlist. And then after we had Rosie, listening to that song again, I'm like, I don't want you to experience any of these things. And like, I still get it. I get the message of it. And I remember telling Andy that. Andy's a good friend. I remember telling him like, oh my God, we love that song. It was on our playlist. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm like, wait, I don't like it anymore. And he started laughing. He's like, yeah, I get it. It's so hard. Like, it's so hard. But that is interesting. That's cool. I'm going to see that movie.
Yeah, it really surprised me. I did not know. I went with my friend Steph, and she just was like, "Yeah, it's a comedy, Aubrey Plaza. It's gonna be such a hoot." Right. And then we walk out, and like our mascara is like, we're like, "That was such a good movie." Like, totally, just emotionally destroyed when we thought we were just like here for a good time, you know?
That's what I want to do. I want to come out with a movie, and everybody's gonna go, oh my God, Angela Johnson's going to be hilarious. And then it's full on just depression mode.
Yeah. But like in the most like beautiful way.
Yeah.
You know, like good. Like we're crying, but we're like, I'm going to go out and live my life in a new way.
Yeah.
Not really. But still, there's like.
No, totally.
That part.
I like that. That's good. Makes you. When you watch a movie and you think about it, like days later, you're like, oh, that was good.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. And especially whenever you're like, no, you have to go see that. Like, sure. Was I telling everyone to go see Twisters? Of course I was. Did it emotionally wreck me? No.
Will Did it I emotionally still recommend? Move the needle whatsoever? No.
No. No, it did not. Will I still watch that forever and always? Of course. But this is like, this was a movie where I was like, it makes me think too of whenever people ask me for book recommendations, and I'll be like, and this is such like a meme I see online all the time, where they're like, what about this book? And I'm like, oh, it emotionally wrecked me. I couldn't process. I walked around in a daze 3 days afterwards. It was so devastating. And they're like, so I shouldn't read it? And I'm like, no, please, you must. You must read this. Like, you have to.
Speaking of books, you're going to be so
proud
of me.
Did you read one?
The book that I had you get me years ago.
Yeah.
I finally picked it up again. And I started reading it again.
Oh.
And okay, so you got it for me.
I thought you were
going to say that you finished it finally.
No, I started reading it again. That's what you're so proud about, okay?
Okay.
So I had Danielle get me this book, Marsh King's Daughter, right? That's what it's called? And, yeah.
I think so.
What's funny is I saw a commercial for the TV show version of it, and it said based on the novel. And I was like, for the first time in my life, I was like, I want to read the book first. When have I ever said that? Just that one day. And I was like, Danielle, you like books. Here's a fun task. Can you get me a book?
You're like, you immediately Google where to get books.
So Danielle gets me this book and I'm like, okay, this is going to be my airplane book. I'm going to read it on airplanes. And then turns out reading on airplanes puts me to sleep. So I would get through like a few pages and then fall asleep. And then it's just been in my backpack forever. And I got this a long time ago. Anyway, on my flight to San Diego the other day, I was like, oh, I'm going to bring my book. And I was like, I'm probably going to read three pages and fall asleep again. But my battery on my phone was dying, so I didn't really have a choice. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm going to read my book. And then I got super into it. I'm almost done. I have like three chapters left.
Wait, why haven't you finished it? Yeah. Three chapters left.
Okay, so then I didn't finish it on the plane, and then I was reading it last night before bed, and I was like, look at me reading in bed. Oh my God. Like, I am a reader, you guys. Look at me. I'm better than everyone because I'm not scrolling on Instagram right now. I'm reading a book instead. I'm better than you.
She's the lead actress of a rom-com right now. Like, she is
starring so cool. In her own rom-com reading a book. So anyway, I have like three chapters left. Very excited to pick it up again tonight and read it again tonight.
Yeah.
So yeah, you'd be very proud. I guess that could be one of my gratitudes. That could be one of my gratitudes. Yeah. Today, I guess, is
that's one of my gratitudes also.
That I'm reading a book.
Yes.
Yeah, I am reading. It's called The Marsh King's Daughter. It's like suspenseful, right up my alley. You know, it's not like Danielle's like
crime.
Rom-com-y period piece sci-fi books. It's
sci-fi.
Well, you're like fantasy stuff. Is that what it is? Fantasy, not sci-fi.
Dabble, sci-fi. Or my favorite word, but also my least favorite word, romanticy. Where they're like, it's like a fantasy romance. Oh yeah, it's like if Game of Thrones and a rom-com met each other. You know,
it's not like that. Rachel Green reading about the vicar.
Oh, well, sometimes. Listen, I read all the Bridgerton books, okay?
So. Did you like the book more than the actual series, Bridgerton?
Yeah, I do like the book more.
Oh.
But I also like the different changes that they've made in the TV series as well. So where I'm almost like, I feel like I'm watching two different things.
Yeah,
or like the book is its own separate thing, and then the series to me is its own separate thing as well.
Well, all right. Technically, I started with a gratitude, but I'm gonna go back to Mattitude for a second.
Yeah,
talk about Mattitude. And Danielle already shared her Mattitude, but you guys are gonna hear it later on, in the second half of this episode. So my Mattitude these days is being disrespected by someone you love. And I'm not going to get into details, but I recently had a situation where I was disrespected by someone that I love because their decision making was very selfish and careless. And it really affected me to where I'm still like feel a type of way, you know, like we had a conversation about it, this person fully apologized, owned their actions, and was like, I made a mistake. That's my bad. Okay. And I was appreciative of that. And this person was like remorseful. Like they really meant it, you know? And I'm very appreciative of that. And I made sure to communicate that as well in that conversation. Like, yeah, I forgive you and I love you and you're my friend. But I still feel a type of way. I still feel.
I think that's okay, because even when someone apologizes, there's still that hurt and that pain there. And it's like, just because you apologize doesn't mean I'm automatically okay with it. And I might still need some time. Whereas like maybe in their mind, they're like, check, did it, apologized, moving on. And you're like, okay, well, I'm still like recovering from this wound a little bit and I need a little bit more healing.
Yeah. And I said that too on our conversation, where I was like, you know, I think I need some time, to be honest.
Yeah.
And my hope, which, because I love this person so much, I'm sure it'll be this, but my hope is that time will be what I need for this healing to take place and we're good, you know? But sometimes I feel like time can do the opposite and show you you're not in each other's lives the way you thought.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I do really love this person. It's gonna take some time.
I also think it matters too if it's like someone that you care enough to work. Because sometimes, like, I feel like in friendships or relationships, maybe you were subconsciously looking for that out and then they gave it to you. And so then you're like, okay, this is where we part ways. But then if it's someone where you're like, no, I still want you in my life, then that's when I think it works in the right way that you need it to, where it's like, I just need some time and like eventually we'll get maybe not back to where we were, but back in a good spot. But I think that's that moment where you have to like, where you have to sit back and look at the situation and think, do I want to put my time and energy into fixing this, or am I letting this go?
Mm-hmm. For sure. And there's even been, I've had a different friendship where this person felt a type of way about me and my lack of investing in our friendship. And was just like, you know, there's seasons where you're like besties with someone because they're actually your first phone call. They're the one that you're like, oh my gosh, I just got rear-ended. Call this person. Right? And you go through seasons of that. And then there's like types of friends who are like your bestie because of longevity, where you've been in my life for years. We may not talk every day, but when we do talk, we love each other. And I had a friend that was like that, the latter one, right? And maybe I relied on too much that like, we just don't talk that much, but when we do, we love each other and it's great. And I think she was more feeling like, no, it's not great. And we had a conversation about our friendship. And I was like, well, this friendship is definitely worth fighting for to me. So let's work on that. And it's still a work in progress, to be honest. Like, it's hard when you're adults and you have kids and schedules and work. And you have your own, like, actual everyday phone call. Like, I can admit, like, I'm not her everyday phone call. She's not my everyday phone call. But we still love each other. So when you have your own schedule, your own life, your own everyday phone call person, your spouse, it's hard to work on that friendship that is your longevity friendship, you know?
Yeah. And I do think too, friendships are, I think they're more challenging as adults. They're, you have to work a lot harder on them, I think, especially with you, just my perspective on it is like, you're married and you have a baby now, and it's like you have so much more going on. And like, from my perspective, I'm traveling with you, so I'm gone a lot. And so I know I have to put in extra effort versus everybody else because of the type of schedule life that I have. But I do think over the past few years, and especially because of COVID, when everybody was home and you're like, these things are kind of, you kind of quickly realize like, oh, that was sort of like an outlier friend, or that was sort of like, I just see you when we're out. Now we're not out. And I quickly like learned where I did want to spend my time and energy and who I did want to give, because it is so limited that I'm a little bit more protective of it. And I've always been that yes friend. That's actually something that I am grateful for, not to tie it back, but is like being the friend that just always says yes and is just like down to like, hey, I'm in town for 24 hours. Do you want to come have dinner with me? Yes, you know, or whatever. And I've always been that friend. But knowing even now, like, because I'm the one that's going, I only have 24 hours, I'm going, who am I calling? Who am I? This is who I, and like, and I've turned people down. I've fully said, I can't do that because I want to be home and I want to see this person. Or, and it's nothing, I mean, I guess it is personal. I was about to say, it's not personal. And I was like, but then I guess it is, really, when you think about it. And of just, and it's not that I don't like that person, or I don't think that, it's not that I think ill will of whoever. It's just, I think of the relationships and things that we've experienced, and who can I speak good into, and who's going to speak good into me, and like what we offer to each other. And
yeah, I don't know. It's, adult friendships are trickier.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure. But that's my gratitude. And yeah, you know, I guess my gratitude was that I'm reading a book and I'm almost finished with it. 3 chapters left. What's another gratitude for you, Danielle? And now you can get nervous because you know what I want you to say.
Yes, my gratitude is we had a really good weekend, a really good show weekend. Why am I nervous to even say the city?
Should you? I don't know.
I like don't want to tell anybody. And listen, this podcast comes out a few weeks after we record it. So if anyone's trying to like sleuth or do math,
yeah,
stay out of my business.
Yeah, don't say the city. Don't say the city. Don't say the city.
I won't. But I will say before. So I met a guy. That's what's happening here, everybody, is I met a guy. And it's funny because it was a really good weekend. Like even prior to that, I was like, we're having so much fun. You were giving like mom's night out a little bit.
Like,
yes.
Like we were just,
we did
just,
old fashioned so tastings.
Yes. Okay.
We sat at the bar.
And we did. And it just felt so fun and just
very like, you know, into the summer type of wrap up or whatever. And I always joke all the time. I'm single, right? I don't know if anyone knew that. I am very much. And I always joke all the time, like, I travel so much, like, what am I going to do? Meet a lighting guy in Indianapolis and move there, you know, or something. And then I did meet someone in a city. And which makes the most sense when you look at it from a logical point of view. I travel, so obviously I would meet somebody on the road. And but it has since fizzled out. But it was super fun and it was very it's cool how even when something is temporary, it can still be really meaningful and still be, again, not to bring up the movie again, but I saw the movie right after this all happened. And so I think that's why I liked it so much. 'Cause it was like, I remember I had a friend who, when I was telling her about it, she texted me and was like, do you regret any of it? And I kind of hated almost that she said that, because I was like, no. And I was like, and regret never even crossed my mind. Like, yes, it was short lived and like fizzled out. And there was all these what ifs of what it could have been. And none of that happened. But it was still really like this beautiful thing and a fun experience. And I was like, I feel like I needed that. Like I needed to remind myself that I'm a catch.
not to
toot my own horn, but like I kind of was in this sort of like slump of like dating or whatever. And if you're out there in your 30s trying to date, it's horrendous. It's horrible and it's no fun. And so it was just nice to be reminded like, oh, it could happen in real life. Like I don't have to be on a dating app. Like this could happen. And it was kind of emotional for me a little bit, just in the sense that like some of the things that he had said that he liked about me were things that I thought would turn somebody away. And so it was super nice to get out of my head, I guess, about that, or get away from those insecurities and know that I am who I'm supposed to be. And I have this personality because that's the personality that God gave me. And like, I am built the way that I am built for a reason. And I think a lot of times we, as single women, we get in our head and we're thinking like, oh, if I was just skinnier, if I was prettier, I'm tall. So I'm like, maybe if I was just a little bit shorter, or if I dressed better, or if I wasn't so loud, or all these, like, you get in your head about like all these things. And it's like, well, maybe a guy will like me if I change all of this stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to change anything about me. I like who I am. I don't want to have to change myself.
Yeah.
For a guy to right? like me. Like, ew. No, I'm not going to do that. And so, and I go back and forth because I'm like, it sucks that it took a guy to show that to me. I'm like, dumb, you know, but I think as women too, you hear all the time, like all your girlfriends and your mom and your aunts and your whoever's are always like, you're so beautiful. You're such a catch. And you're just like, yeah, okay. Thanks, aunt, whatever. Yeah. Like, you don't know. Like, you know, it's like,
yeah.
I think just hearing it from an outside source, I guess.
No, yeah, totally. It's great that he saw your strengths as strengths and wasn't turned off by them,
right.
But even in this short-lived experience, celebrated them.
Yeah.
And that's a good reminder for you as you move forward in dating to not try to dim your light in any way because of any insecurities that you had in your head or any lies that you believed or anything that you told yourself to, like, maybe if I was just a little bit like this or a little less this, a little more this. But no, don't dim your light. And he's out there. And what a great, fun experience that you got to have to remind you of that.
Yeah.
Do you think now your eyes might be a little more open while you're in work mode, a little more available, I guess? Mm-hmm. Do you think you might adjust something in there to be like, yeah, I'm working, but also, what was your name?
Yeah. Here's the thing is, I think too, I was telling my sister this because she's also single, and I feel like there's a part of you that is, it's always there. It's always there. No matter what room I walk into, restaurant, church, birthday party, bar, whatever, there's always that part in your back of the mind that's kind of like, is he here? Like, is he in the room? You know, but then you immediately get it. Oh, there's my friend. Let me, you get caught up. And I
used to do that at airports.
Oh, constantly doing it at airports. I'm always like, if I'm fidgeting in my seat, it's because I'm trying to be like, do I look cute? Like, if I sit like this, like, do I cute? Like, oh, I'm reading a book. Like, look at me. I'm reading a book. I'm so smart. And what book are you reading? You know, like, make sure the cover, like, it's not anything embarrassing. And so there's always that. I feel like it's just always in the back of your mind a little bit. And I do think there are moments at work where I do think it, like, don't get me wrong, like, there's been times where we've showed up at theaters or whatever, and like the promoter comes out and I'm like, oh, hello, handsome man. Oh, that's a wedding ring? Never mind. Go on about your day, you know, whatever. Of course. You're the one attractive man.
Where were the emergency exits? That's right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I'm like, you're like the one attractive man in St. Louis. Like, sure. That makes sense. No offense to St. Louis. But I think it is there subconsciously, but I do think I have these moments, especially this time at this show, where I think I might have even felt a little rushed. And so I was like, I'm here for business. Like, I'm like, I will get my job done and then we can flirt. If we could just pause, I will flirt with you in just a moment. Let me finish setting up this merch table. Because that's what happened is like he started flirting with me while I was setting up the table. And like halfway through, my brain goes, wait a minute. Is he flirting with me? like I just yelled at him to get me tape. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. Say that one more time. Like, I was like, what's happening? Like, it like took me. I am the worst at not realizing when someone is flirting with me. Like, it's fully happened in front of my face. I remember one time I was at this comedy show, because I'm always at a comedy show. And I was at the bar talking with like a few of my friends. And then this guy came up to me and he was like, hey. And I was like, hey. And he goes, you look really familiar. And I went, oh, you don't. But it was a pickup line. I was like, I don't think we know each other. Sorry. And then I turned back around and everyone was like, Danielle, you are stupid. They're like, that was his line. Like, that was his in to try to talk to you. And I fully just was like, oh. And of course, now I think that in my head, every time I go to a bar, I'm like, okay, if somebody says you look familiar, go with it. Yes. So do you, sir. Where could we know each other from?
I do.
I do.
From where?
From your dream. So I do think I should be. I feel like I probably should be like a little, just more.
Yeah.
Aware or alert. I guess.
Yeah. Eyes open. I'm here for work, but I'm keeping my ear open.
Yeah. That was another thing a friend of mine was saying. Like you gotta look around. Like make eye contact. Like. Right, make it obvious, right. Like I'm looking at you. Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is.
I love that.
I like, love that you're getting lessons from your friends.
Listen, is it great? Most of them, some of these people giving me advice are also single. So I don't know if I should trust any of it. Unfortunately, everyone I know who's in a relationship has been in it for like so long that I'm like, you don't. I'm like, don't talk to me. You don't know.
Listen, I couldn't tell you. Since being married, I wrote a joke about it for a little bit, but I stopped doing it, just about like, I'm so awkward if any guy like tries to flirt with me at the grocery store or the gas station or whatever, that I don't even know how to acknowledge sweetly and be like, okay, you know, whatever, I'm married, but just acknowledge it. I get so awkward and just like, I have an English mind.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, I couldn't even tell you how to flirt. But I'm so excited for you. That was a very fun. It was fun even for me, just as a bystander watching, being a part of this little whirlwind story. And it was fun and cutesy. Yeah. And I'm not going to say demure, but it was so cool. And I loved it for you. So
yeah. And I did come to you. I was like, is this flirting? Is this what's happening? I was like, is this?
Oh, yeah. Me and the opener were very hands-on in this situation. We're like, no, get back out there. No, we're not. Okay, go say this now and then come back. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. But yay, that's good. We had a fun time that weekend, and these are some good gratitudes and matitudes. And let's listen to a voicemail message from one of our listeners. You can all call in as well. If you want to call us and tell us what you're grateful for, we may pick yours and play it on a future episode. What's the phone number, Danielle?
747-300-5380.
So call us, leave us a message, tell us what you're grateful for. Go for it.
Hi, Angela. My name is Kristen. Just want to say real quick, I'm a huge fan of yours since 2018. What I'm grateful for seems probably a little weird. I am grateful for my sobriety. I had been an alcoholic for 8.5 years. I lost my son 8.5 years ago, and that's where my whirlwind started to just go downhill. I lost my brother 3 years later, then my mother 3 years later. But today I'm sober. I am able to love on my children that are still with me the way I'm supposed to, love on my grandbabies. And I'm able to focus and just be present in my current life and be appreciative for you know, even though I've been through a lot of tragedy, I'm grateful that I have come through it and I'm a stronger person for it. Mm. And I'm hoping that eventually my story will help other parents, siblings, and, you know, children that have lost, you know, people that are close to them. But anyway, that's what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for my new life. I'm grateful for sobriety. And it's all thanks to the Lord above, of course. Anyway, love you. I'm so glad I finally got to see you in Ontario, California just recently. And I hope to see you again soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Wow. That is a lot for one person to go through, loss after loss after loss. Christian, I think her name was.
Kristen.
Okay. Yeah. Kristen. Well done on your sobriety, my friend. Well done. That is a tough road to walk, and everybody grieves differently, you know. She lost her son and started a spiral into alcoholism, and then more loss and more loss. I can't even imagine what she was going through, but I'm so grateful that she found the help that she needed and is now living a sober life and is able to be there for her kids, like she said. Yeah. Her kids that are still with her today. Thank you for sharing that with us. And that is actually a great segue into our guest that we have today. Carmela, thank you so much for joining us on Fungela today. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. Love your frames. Let's start right there, first of all. Those are super cutie frames. I'll be honest, I don't wear glasses, but sometimes I pull out frames just to like look cute, but fake. Like I'm the fake girl walking around being like, sorry guys, but it's just like look cute like you.
But that's not a bad problem to have, that you don't need them.
Right. I'm out there fronting on the streets, girl. I'm the one out there being like, sorry, excuse me, what was that? But love those frames. Love that you're here. We're going to jump right in. Before we do gratitudes, the things that we're most grateful for in life, we always start with one mattitude. And that's the thing that's annoying us these days, getting on our nerves, something. And maybe it's something that's always annoyed you, like a pet peeve your whole life. And then maybe it's just something that's annoying you as of yesterday, whatever it may be. But what is your mattitude these days?
Well, I try to stay in a place where people don't really get me on that level. But I would say just crossing the boundaries that I set, you know, just if someone is not respecting my space, I say that would make me upset. But other than that, I try to, you know, as far as it depends on me, I try to, you know, keep the peace.
Yeah.
You know, just have boundaries in place.
So when you say respecting my space, do you mean like, if somebody comes in for a hug, you're like, ooh, no, I'm not a hugger. Like that kind of thing.
If someone that I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's just a bit strange to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like I don't feel comfortable in that arena. And it's like, you know, it's nothing personal, but it's like, I don't really know you like that. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I get it.
I That's prefer. Funny. Yeah.
So I'm a hugger, right?
Okay.
And at my meet and greets. Mm-hmm. When I am meeting people, I always stretch my arms out to like give a hug, like, hey. And then when somebody goes in for the handshake instead, then I got to do the JK. Here we are. Yep. I'll respect your boundaries. Well, see, you're not
I'm
a hugger.
Okay with that because we're interacting.
Right.
But let's say you're a stranger and you know my son.
Yeah.
And you want to hug me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a different kind of setting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's different. That's totally different.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good mattitude. Danielle, do you have a mattitude to contribute right now?
You know what? I kind of go along with Carmela's mattitude. You know this. I'm not a hugger. And so I am definitely like, I totally understand and get along with the whole boundaries of like, you're a stranger. I don't know you. Like, let's first exchange pleasantries, please. Like, can I get a name first? Before suddenly we're sharing what skin to skin. I just met you, like, and I.
But Danielle's like that with people she knows as well, because even when I give hugs, listen, true, I'm a regular hugger. Like, if I see you every day of my life, I still give you a hug when you leave, except for Danielle. Danielle's the only one that's like, okay, bye, and like leaves. Yeah.
Like my own mother or like best friend, I'm like, all right, high five, catch you next time, see you later.
Carmela, let's jump into our gratitudes. We believe here at Fungula that gratitude is one of the most powerful tools that we have in our mental health. And I know you do such amazing work in the mental health field with your organization. I can't wait to hear more about it. But something that has helped me tremendously in my journey with mental health has been gratitude. I have all these tools in my tool belts, in my tool belt that I have. You know, I have everything from my breathing techniques to my my gratitude journal, my prayer, my singing, my meditation. Like, I have all these different tools. But the one that I would always go to most, because it's quick, it's easy, it's free, it's right there. You don't have to pull anything out. It's just right there within you. And that's my gratitude. And that would be something when I'm in my green room with my opener, with my road manager. If I'm at a restaurant anywhere and I'm feeling anxiety and I'm feeling it right here in my throat and I'm about to have a panic attack, it's, let's go into gratitude. What are you guys grateful for? I'll be driving sometimes if anyone's in the car and I'm like, hey, what are you grateful for? Just because us sharing that interaction of gratitude is immediately raising our vibration and helping us get out of this low vibrating anxiety, panic, depression, whatever we're struggling with in that moment. It just really helps raise that vibration. So that's why we practice gratitude here at Fungula. And I am so excited to hear about your gratitudes. What is something that you are grateful for?
I'm grateful for life, you know, just every day waking up in a bed, in a warm bed. It's just like so many things that people take for granted that people don't have. You know, people don't have homes. Some people, you know, don't even have, you know, like hot water. You know, I'm grateful for just the small things, from waking up in a warm bed. I'm grateful that I have a platform where people listen to me. I'm grateful that, you know, I can be impactful and make a difference in someone's life. I'm grateful for this new project I'm engaging in. I'm building a brew pub restaurant. I built it. We're going to be opening soon. But just, you know, creating jobs and being a staple in the community, you know, to honor Jerry. So, you know, all those things, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, my sons and, you know, my son Brian and, you know, my son Jared. I was grateful for him, and I have a granddaughter. I'm grateful for her. So I find everything to be grateful for, because people are in, you know, horrible situations. And so I'm very grateful for what I have and where I am.
Tell me about that restaurant.
So I am in the process of opening a 18,000 square foot brew pub restaurant.
Come on.
And it's in Homewood, Illinois, and it's in honor of Jared. So you have touches of Jared throughout, from like a common table with Jared quotes. It's two humongous common tables, and it's Jared quotes that you could read from either side of the brewery. And it's just really encouraging, uplifting. I have a mural that the artist that painted the mural in Chicago, he did for me. So, and then I have other artists who did work just to tribute and honor him. And it's in downtown Homewood. It is where Jared was raised. And it's excitement in the community. I was the grand marshal of their parade. And wow. Going through the parade, and people are saying, when are you opening? They're so excited. So, you know, I have a lot to be grateful for. And the fact that I'm creating jobs and, you know, creating a input and a legacy in the community. So I have a lot to be grateful for.
What's the name of your restaurant?
Homewood Brewing Company.
Homewood Brewing. And when do you open?
Next month. So we're looking around the 11th or 12th for like a soft opening, and the following week for a grand opening. Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. I'm coming to Illinois. I don't know where that is on the map, I'll be honest. But if I'm nearby, I'm going to come stop in.
Please do.
Please do.
Great food, great beer.
Yes, we're there. Say less. We're already on our way.
I'm
putting it on the travel itinerary. Here we
nice.
Go.
Nice.
That's amazing. Nice. That's going to be so cool. And the fact that you're opening this right in downtown where Jerry grew up, where like, this is amazing. Like what a tribute, what an honor, and people coming to gather in community in his name, you know, what a special, special thing. There's nothing more to me, more special than community and gathering around food. Mm-hmm. Especially. And that's like, to me, that's church. Whether we're in a building that's absolutely called church, or we're at the bar, we're at a restaurant, we're at my home, but having people gathered around and we're having food, we're talking. Sometimes we're talking about deep life, God questions. And sometimes it's just like, what, you know, what you did, what movies are you watching? That's my dad's favorite thing to talk about when we talk on the phone is what movies we've seen lately. And that's how we bond and connect. But something like that, having this restaurant right there in the heart, right there in the community, everybody gathering around in his name, that's such a special thing that you're doing. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you. It's very exciting. And it actually was healing for me as well. You know, my son is involved as well. So it's just where we put our pain. You know, we put it down there and there, and we just created something really beautiful.
Oh, that is such a beautiful sentiment. That's where we put our pain, and we built something beautiful. Ooh, right. A bumper sticker. Are you kidding me? Write that down immediately. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Okay, tell me more about your organization as well, because I'm sure there are thousands of people who are grateful for the work that you're doing with your organization. And can you just tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure. So in the midst of grieving, and I remember the moment when I decided to start it, I was reading fan mail, you know, from Jared's fan mail, and just hearing how he touched people. And I didn't even know before then the type of impact that he had on people's mental health. You know, I knew they loved him, but he was always the kid that people loved him. You know, from a small boy, people just loved him. So, but that's when I really started to see the impact of his words and what, you know, what he was saying and how it was actually helping people. And then when I would read stuff like, you know, he helped me with depression and anxiety. And then the ones when it said he prevented me from committing suicide. I'm like, wow, this is deeper than what I, you know, this is deep. Yeah. And then I began to think as a parent, who's there for them now? You know, who's the voice now? Who's there to tell them, you know, everything is okay? So that's how I was, you know, that's how Live Free was created. And so the goal is to normalize the conversation around mental health and let people know that they're not alone, which is, you know, it's the enemy of mental health is that loneliness and isolation, you know, just to get people to know, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone. So we have one of the things we have on our website is share your story. And it's like a community of people. And I think it's just, it's hopeful to see that I'm not alone. You know, it's hopeful to see that I thought I was the only one going through this, but someone went through it and they overcame the situation. So it definitely, it continues the conversation. My goal is let's keep talking about it. Let's not act like nothing is going on. Let's keep talking about it. And just continue to normalize the conversation and do outreach whichever way we can. So we do outreach with his high school. We support a lot of organizations who have effective programs in place giving them grants. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel, but if they have something that works, you know, we're supporting them as well. And then our goal for the future is to be more on ground too. So, you know, we give grants and we're building a relationship with Jericho High School, but we also want to be involved in more.
That's amazing. Being the type of organization that can get behind, like you say, you're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but there's already organizations out there that are doing amazing work in this field. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, we're on the same team. Let's support that. And so you guys are giving grants to these organizations who are out there doing effective
work.
That's fantastic.
Yes. And they're vetted, you know, so it's not like, you know, we just selecting, they're vetted thoroughly. And, you know, I think it's just an effective way just because it's such a big problem, you know, and it's such an effective way just to spread it out and just help as many people as we can.
Going back to your sentiment that you said, like, you know, this is where we put our pain and we built something beautiful from that. How long after, when your son passed away, how long after did you start this organization? Did you come up with this idea? And because it takes a lot of work to start an organization.
Mm-hmm.
How long after he passed did you start, you know what, we're going to do this?
About a year, maybe about a year and a half. I think I started this project maybe about a year and a half, like in 2021. It's been going on for a little bit. There's been a lot of work into it. So maybe about a year and a half. I mean, because I had the foundation, which was fine. But honestly, I'm used to being busy. You know, I'm used to just having a full plate. That seemed like I just flow better that way. And it just was an opportunity. I was looking for initially like a business investment type of deal. And it just grew. You know, it just something just grew and developed. And then even the teams that were working, like the architects, one of the architects, his wife said, I haven't seen him this excited about a project in a long time. So, you know, people are excited that those involved. It's really a work of love. Yeah. And it really shows. I look forward to you seeing it, and you'll see just all the love that was put in it. We've been meeting regularly for several years, you know, with planning and construction and branding and just all the tools in place just to build a effective brand and business. Been going on. Yeah. So
you have this organization that is reaching people who absolutely need the help. And within that, you guys, you have your, is it a text line where people can text?
Crisis text line. Yes.
Tell me about that.
So we partner with Crisis Text Line, and we allow people the opportunity to get help in a private way that they feel comfortable with. Because, you know, a lot of times that, you know, taking that first step is a hard step. And while it's not going to, you know, solve all your problems, it's for the moment. You know, if you're having a moment and you need to talk to someone, someone is there to talk 24/7. It's free and it's confidential. So it's like, and it's private. So you don't have to say who you are. They just want to make sure you're okay. And they stay with you in that conversation. It's not a quick conversation. They stay with you in that conversation to make sure you're okay. And then they offer you, you know, solutions and alternatives to try to help your situation.
Yeah. Now, coming back to our theme of gratitude, in all the work that you've been doing since your son has passed with the organization, with seeing the impact that it's had, with reading his fan mail, with meeting fans out and about, with building this restaurant, partnering with your other son is involved, and being able to do something side by side with him. There's all these things that you've been working on and pouring yourself into and giving your heart and doing this in honor of your son. Within the work that you've been doing in these past few years, are there a few moments within that that you can point out to say, like, this really touched me? Like, you talk about how your son touched these fans and they tell you, like, oh my gosh, he helped me with this, he helped me with that. Is there something that sticks out to you that has helped you in your grieving process as you've built these things and continue on your son's legacy?
I would say the love that I feel from all involved in the project, it really touches me. We have this branding guru. We just love him. So he's been working on our brand for years. And he's been instrumental in helping me really share what I want, you know, pour me into the place. And he sent me a message because we were working on the quotes for Jared's table. And he sent me a message and he was like, you know, I'm a parent and I just wanted to say, I know this has to be hard for you. And he just reached out to me to let me know, you know, in the midst of this working, this project is fun, it's exciting, but I see you and I understand your pain. To me, that was one of those moments because he paused in the midst of all the work to say, I understand.
I see you.
Yeah.
I see you. I understand. Yeah. Because I'm sure you have to put on a brave face, a boss face. You got to get it done. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm sure people are looking to you even for strength. And so you have to be that person. And that's amazing that you had that gift of someone saying like, hey, I see that you have to do that, but also I see what's really
It's special. It even touches me now. It was just really special in the midst of everything that somebody noticed. You know? Absolutely. Yeah.
I can't even imagine what your journey has been like and the things that you have to process and your grieving process and your being able to celebrate your son and all the things that he's done and hearing new stories from different fans and reading the stories on the website of people who are being touched by this platform, how much you get to celebrate and smile like, wow, this is all because of my son. And then at the same time, wow, my son. And it's like that journey that you have to balance.
You might summed talk that up
a little bit about that.
That's perfect. And I think the key in all of that is just to allow myself to be in whatever moment I'm in.
Yeah.
You know, if it's joy on the journey at that moment, then I'm for it. You know, if it's a moment where I'm reflecting, I get a little sad, I'm okay with that too. You know, because it's just all a part of the journey that I'm on. And it's unrealistic to expect that, you know, you're going to lose a child and grieve and it'll just be over at a certain amount of time. You know, I think I'm over. I always say it's a sting with death. You know, it's a sting that comes with death. So I think I'm over that part, you know, that initial shock and that initial loss. But of course, I still miss him every day. He's my son and it's going to always be that way. So it's just a matter of learning that it's not going to go away, the missing him part.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But just learning how to navigate through it.
Yeah.
And my way of navigating through it is just helping others and giving to others. Because to me, that's healing for me. So that's basically how I get through.
That's really good. And I think you touched on something really important for people listening who are going through their own grieving process is giving yourself permission to be whatever it is in that moment. Sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's bawling your eyes out. Sometimes it starts as joy and then it's guilt for feeling the joy.
Yep.
It's a roller coaster. Yep. I can only imagine, but just even hearing you say and listeners being able to hear you say, let it be whatever it is in that moment. There's no pressure to be clean. Grieving is not clean.
No.
It's messy. It's one day it's up, one day it's low, one day it's just frozen, and that's what it is.
And it's painful. Yeah, it's painful, you know. So but you know, you have to continue. And I know Jared would want me to, just like I would have wanted him to, you know. So you have to continue, and I do things to honor him, which makes me feel better.
That's right. And then in the midst of that, so many people are impacted by that. Your son impacted so many people when he was alive through his music, through his interviews, being open with himself and his own journey and his childhood and the way he grew up. And then now, even in his death, he's still impacting people's lives through you continuing on his legacy, this work. And I can only imagine how proud he is of you and grateful for what you're continuing to do for him and in his honor and just continuing marching on. Like, that's very special. And I'm so grateful that we got to meet you today and talk to you and hear about your organization, hear about your restaurant and all the things that you're working on and just bringing light to this conversation of mental health. And you're not alone and there's resources out there for you. You can go tell everybody about where they can find your website and the text line and all of that.
Sure. Thank you. And thank you again for having me and just let's having a conversation and continuing the conversation about mental health. So they could go to livefree999.org for our website. And for the crisis line, you text LF999 to 741-741. and it's confidential, it's free, and it's available 24/7.
That's amazing. Carmela, thank you so much.
Well, thank you
for joining us today and telling us about all the things that you're working on, and honestly just sharing about your son and sharing about his life with us and how special he was. And we're grateful that you took time to be with us today.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much.
Thank you.